asking, but I need your help.
I tighten my fingers around her hand, knowing it's not me she's scared of. Anger starts to simmer for whatever motherfucker put this type of visible fear into her. Ask me anyway. Closing Ginger's driver's side door, I add another task to my never-ending fucking to-do list as she smiles at me through the glass before starting her car. As she pulls away, my phone rumbles in my pocket, and I curse, knowing it's the hospital, without bothering to look at the screen. Only 30 minutes or so into the hour I asked for, Delphine's already terrorized the hospital staff to the point that they're calling. Glancing through the lobby glass, Tyler spots my summons as I start making my way toward my car. He steps out, making his way toward his truck. Rain check, it's important. I'll get back with you in a few. Don't stray too far. Where are you off to, man? A drunken, disorderly French menace walks into a hospital days early for her chemo appointment. I'll get back to you with the fucking punchline. Shit. Need help? I'm handling it. Let me know if that changes. When I don't reply, he curses as he secures his burner phone in his glove box before circling his truck and firing up behind the wheel. He's debating following me. I'd bet my fucking Hot Wheels on it. Delphine is his other Achilles heel, and he's horrible at hiding it, at least from me. Tyler fires up his truck as Sean flies out of the lobby. Hey, assholes, where the fuck are you going? In case you forgot, I don't work here anymore. You do today, I say before taking my wheel, knowing Russell will pull up within half an hour. Firing up my car, I sip my coffee for much-needed fuel before speeding off, my shoulders already tight. It's going to be one of those fucking days. 14. Staring into the dark lobby of the garage from my seat, I run my knuckles down my wheel, tightening my hold on the burner phone. I'm asking you to give me an inch, a fucking inch. I can't just sit back while you can and you will, Tobias snaps. One at a time, Dom, and we need to concentrate on who's first. You don't know what you're asking me. Every day you deny me to act is a day wasted. Another life stolen, innocence lost, and a monster's victory. But I can't let on too much about how it's affecting me. He's rested the club's fate in my hands, and if he catches wind of how much my side project is fucking with the job, he may very well snatch it out of my grasp. I need some semblance of control. If Tobias takes the day-to-day away from me, it will be a fate worse than the one I'm living. His silence on the other end of the line tells me he's contemplating that decision. Stop. Don't even think about it, I warn.
If you know what I'm thinking, then why are we having this conversation?
His accent is getting thicker, and for some reason it irritates me. Maybe it's because I don't want him claiming home to be on that side of the ocean, though at this point he's lived more of his life in France than he has here.
We can't risk it, Dom.
What they're doing, what they're fucking getting away with, has been happening for endless years and isn't stopping anytime soon. I get your logic, I admit begrudgingly.
Do you?
His tone is full of condescension. If he's speaking to Tyler as often as he is to me, and Tyler gives him more reason to worry, I might have already lost my place.
Don't fucking do it, I snap. I'll do your bidding. I haven't moved in on shit. That's why we're fucking arguing. Prove it is the right decision. Your time will come, brother.
And how many times have I heard that? I snap, running my knuckles down my wheel in a way that burns. I hear the clink of ice to glass and know then that he's also not putting a real voice to what's got him so worked up. Any progress on finding him? I ask in an attempt to get something from him. Our conversations are rare as is, and I know it's so he can stay focused. For whatever reason, he's chosen our club's tipping point to search for his birth father, and I'm trying not to begrudge him for it.
No, he replies. A whisper of something, then silence for fucking days, sometimes weeks.
Elusive, huh? An inherited trait, no doubt.
I'm trying, Dom.
Try harder.
You've been no help to me recently, he snaps.
A little busy here, I say through clenched teeth.
Tell me,
he urges, not as the shock caller, but as my brother. His emotional whiplash tells me he's just as on edge as I am. My job has been a little hectic lately, but our pension is looking pretty fucking spectacular.
Good to hear, he muses. How are things at home? Delphine. The definition of insanity? I scrub my face, thinking about my aunt rotting away in that house, how I watched her pour a drink from the porch just after parking her in her recliner earlier today. She's shackled herself to that house for as long as I can remember now. It's as if she's serving a self-imposed prison sentence. Don't let her miss a treatment, he orders. I've got it, I snap. Silence. The clink of ice. Try not to resent me too much, brother, he finally says, recognizable guilt coating his tone. He's either on his third or fourth drink and getting antsy due to the time away, mostly from me. The paternal concern is starting to kick in. What he doesn't realize is that I'm just as fucking worried about his situation. On that, I'm done obeying orders and formulating a plan instead. You tell me about home, I prod. I'm talking to Om. You do know the definition of insanity, don't you? He circles his glass, and I realize he's drained it already. That knowledge grates on me. It's repeating the same actions over and over again and expecting different results. That's where waiting has gotten us. He releases my name like it's a nuisance as a text comes through my personal cell.
Ginger. He's here.
Don't let my shit keep you from sipping your guilt away, brother. Seeing how it's worked out so fucking well for the rest of the family, I have shit to do. Smashing the phone into my dash, I toss its remains on my passenger floorboard. Reveling in the timing of Ginger's text, I allow the residual anger to snake its way into my vision. Downshifting, I fly in the direction of her apartment. Once parked, I grab what I need from my glove box. As I do, recent, concerned looks of every single one of my inked brothers flit through my mind, along with Tobias's warning. Pressing send on a last-minute text to Sean, I slam my door closed and make a beeline for Ginger's apartment door. Ginger opens the door just as I approach, and I see the source of her fear standing next to a littered coffee table. Nearby, a baby no older than a year bounces in a chair. Rage engulfs me, and I zone in on the motherfucker who barely has time to drop his glass pipe before I'm on him. Clamping a hand on his neck, I drag him toward the open front door. What the fuck? He shrieks, attempting to turn his head as I keep him bent, but walking.
Dom!
Ginger's sister Marie screams my name as if she has some ability to reason with me. Pack his shit! I bark at Marie as Ginger holds the door open so I can take the trash out. Stopping just outside of it, Marie starts to berate Ginger, and the greasy piece of shit in my grip gets it together enough to start questioning me.
What the fuck, man? Who the fuck are you?
Gripping his hair, I pull his head up enough to scan the parking lot. Which one is yours?
The S10. Fuck, please, ease up. Jesus Christ.
He's not answering today, I inform him before pinning him to his rust-eaten Chevy. I already called.
She didn't tell me she had a man, dude. I swear.
Inside, I hear the baby start to scream along with Marie, and my hackles rise. Sean speeds into the parking lot, and in seconds he's by my side, his voice barely audible to the pulse thrumming in my ears as I stare at the fucking junkie who is about to hit a pipe with a baby mere feet away.
Dom!
Marie screeches as she bounds into the parking lot with Ginger on her heels.
Dom, please don't hurt him.
I slam him against his truck, leering at him as Sean's words finally start registering.
Easy, man. This isn't the time or place.
You've overstayed your welcome. I inform Greasy. This isn't your place. Ginger wants you gone. So go. Marie turns on Ginger.
I told you it was just a couple more days.
Ginger stands her ground.
You said that 2 months ago. I found a pipe in Toby's car seat this morning.
Greasy, who hasn't taken his eyes off me, starts to sputter as I slam him into the side of the truck again. You're smoking that poison around a baby. Are you not aware that shit can seep into his clothes? His skin?
Please, Dom, don't hurt him.
The crackhead's smoked, false bravery decides to speak up on his behalf as he questions Marie.
Who the fuck is this guy?
Sean supplies the answer for her.
You don't want an answer to that. It's best if you leave, man, and take him at his word. He's not a fan of repetition.
Keeping the fucker pinned to the truck, I pat him down before yanking his keys from his jeans and pressing them into his chest. Marie must have taken a hit of the same bravery as her first threat comes out.
Let him go, or I'm calling.
I flip my gaze to her. You sure you want to finish that sentence, Marie?
She backtracks as Sean turns toward her, his expression just as unforgiving as she cowers.
You know I wouldn't. Just, please, let him go.
Focusing back on the sweat-slicked junkie, I see him for exactly what he is, a complete and utter waste of a life. Your dick seems to be clouding judgment around here. Slamming him against the truck again, he fades, going limp in my hold. My voice of reason speaks up beside me.
Ease up, Dom. What's your name, man?
Jeffrey.
Jeffrey was just leaving, weren't you, Jeffrey?
Sean gives him an easy out, a script to repeat, which he does not follow.
Seems he's having a hard time grasping the concept, so we'll make it easy.
I turn to Marie. I'm only going to say this one more time. Pack his shit. He's taking it with him. We'll wait, won't we, Jeffrey? Jeffrey, who is full of bad decisions, has the gumption to look bored.
Yeah, sure.
I turn to Ginger. You said 2 months?
Around that, yeah.
She replies with a shaky voice, her eyes darting nervously. Has he given you a fucking dime for anything? Rent? Utilities?
I don't care about that.
She waves her hand. I turn on her. Then maybe you deserve an unwanted house guest if you're willing to be so hospitable.
I just want him away from my nephew.
I wasn't hurting him,
Jeffrey offers in a shit excuse.
Jeffrey, Sean shakes his head. Don't talk.
Nah, let's chat. How much cash do you have on you, Jeffrey? Jeffrey fearfully glances at Sean for more help and finds none.
I don't know.
Sean, how much do you have on you? Sean answers instantly.
Around 300 and change.
I turn to Ginger. Ginger, what about you? How much is in your wallet?
I just filled up, so around $40. Why?
Because only a loser without a care in the fucking world is unaware of how much money they have in their pocket, and that's because they're content with someone else doing all the heavy lifting. Reaching into Jeffrey's back pocket, I pull out his pathetic Velcro wallet and glance over at Marie. I see your tastes have changed drastically since high school, and you're only getting classier with age. Ginger snorts as Marie glares at me. I told you to go pack his shit.
Dom.
Go soothe your screaming baby and pack his shit.
Sean snaps at her, and her eyes widen in a way that she knows arguing is futile. She turns on her heels as I fix my stare back to the cesspool she's chosen to play father figure. I release him enough to keep him pinned with my elbow while I sort through his wallet. I pull out his license and hand it to Sean, who studies it. I pluck out a bag of powder inside the billfold and toss it at his feet before holding the wallet open for him. I'm guessing this is the full sum of your net worth right here. This is all you have?
Yeah.
Take the money out and give it to Ginger.
It's all I got.
Technically, it's not, I correct. What's the street value of the powder?
$80,
he replies, searching all sets of eyes on him for help that's not coming. Eyes on me. He lifts blown pupils to mine. Give the money to Ginger. He hastily snatches the money from the wallet and thrusts it toward her. I can practically hear the crack in his back as I reprimand him for bad manners, and the bills float to the ground before Ginger has a chance to reach them. Jeffrey whimpers when I press my forearm against his neck. Now, Jeffrey, simple mathematics will tell you you're leaving with twice as much as you just gave her. But my guess is that you're going to smoke your entire net worth before you reach the highway. Marie bounds out of the apartment with a trash bag, her son on her hip. His tiny chest bounces with his hiccups due to the strength of his cries. My resolve only strengthens as I rip my eyes away from him while I try to rid him of the monster that sleeps too close to his crib.
Is that everything, Marie?
We don't want to give him an excuse for another house call. Sean reaches for the bag as she answers me.
It's everything.
I keep my eyes trained on the crackhead as Sean drops his shit in the back of his truck.
You're packed, but if anything is missing, you can live without it.
Jeffrey dips his chin in reply.
Need to hear you say it,
Sean instructs as I press in and he winces, agony etched on his features.
Right. If anything is missing, I can live without it.
Releasing him, I step back as Jeffrey quickly grabs his only priority, his bag of dope, and grips the handle of his truck. Eyeing me for my next move, I step back and allow him the space to get in. It's when he's safely inside and fires up his truck that I tap his window with my Glock. Jeffrey's eyes bulge at the sight of it before he hesitantly cracks his window a fraction.
Don't call. Don't write. You won't be missed.
Jeffrey nods, and I step away as he floors the gas, speeding out of the parking space and biting the curb hard with his exit. Marie turns to Ginger with a glare, adjusting Toby on her hip.
I fucking hate you.
You're next, I tell Marie. And if you so much as utter another disrespectful word to the person putting a roof over you and your son's head, it will be now rather than later. She opens her mouth and thinks better of it before stomping off and slamming the apartment door. Ginger turns to me, the relief on her face enough even if she voices it.
Thank you.
He'll be back, I warn, and she'll let him in while you're working. When that happens, text me. She nods half a dozen times, her expression filled with gratitude.
Okay, I will. Thank you, really, I'm sorry.
You know he isn't the problem, right?
I do, but she's the only family I have, even if she's a nightmare.
I can relate.
Sean chuckles at my reply, one of the rare few who gets the joke as Ginger eyes me in a way I used to welcome when in need of a distraction. I can read her invitation before she voices it.
Do you want to come in?
She looks between me and Sean.
Both of you. I've got some beer.
I've got shit to do, I tell her. She nods, expecting the answer I gave.
Okay, well, I'm around, if you change your mind.
Text me if he comes back. I turn and stalk toward my car.
Night, Sean. Thank you.
No problem, Ginger. See you, Sean says before catching up with me. She grew up a stunner, didn't she? Your first crush in junior high.
I don't take his bait as he continues, trailing me to my Camaro.
Something tells me this favor was sentimental in nature, but you always did have a thing for redheads.
I grew out of her a long fucking time ago, I tell him honestly. What I don't say is that I grew out of this town after my freshman year in Boston. Coming back hasn't at all felt like a homecoming. Years out of Triple Falls did exactly what my brother predicted it would do. It boosted my ambition to a different level, pivoting my aspirations on a much bigger scale, which only adds to my unrest. If Tyler feels the same after his years away, he doesn't voice it. Aside from his few trips during my college years, Triple Falls is all Sean has ever known. But if given the choice, I don't think he'd ever venture too far away from the county line. This town is in his blood. I don't fault him for it, but it distances us a little in mindset, which only adds to the growing gap between us. I didn't need you playing good cop. I had it fucking handled.
Then why did you call me here?
A question he answers for himself.
We both know if he had 50 more pounds on him, this would have been a shit show. You've got to get a handle on whatever is festering inside you. And if it's Cecilia, it's not. I've made my decision. We're moving forward. You sure, man?
Gripping my door handle, I glance over at him.
Whatever it takes.
15.
Get that asshole out of my pool.
Cecilia orders Sean from the lounger they've been bickering on since we got here. I press my lips together.
Sorry, Mouse. The water feels too fucking good.
Sun-drenched and weightless for the first time in fuck knows how long, I crack open my beer and survey the yard. Tyler makes quick work of unpacking our cooler as Cecilia gives Sean hell for not having her back during our little showdown.
Tell me you didn't miss me, he prompts, crowding her on the chair.
Irrelevant. If I can't trust you to have my back when I need you, what's the point?
Doing my best to drown out their drama, it's Sean's last confession that has my ears perking back up.
I thought I was doing the right thing, but I don't know what that is when it comes to you.
What does that mean?
It means, for both our sakes, I should probably leave you alone, but I'm not fucking going to.
There it is. The truth he refuses to spare either of us as he kisses her to drill his point home. As I thought, he's been fighting himself when it comes to her. While I've made a firm decision, the predicament will remain his and his alone. Tipping my beer, I survey the sparkling pool and surrounding grounds while I tune in on their back and forth.
Father has security cameras set up everywhere, and he's already threatened me about having company. This isn't going to bode well.
Which is precisely the reason for our ambush today. Surprisingly, Sean lets her in on the camera surveillance solution, me, but not the Wen. Sean really does trust her, and due to my decision to let her through, if only to hasten serving up Roman's justice, means she'll be privy to a lot more in the coming days and weeks. But whatever Sean's thinking about regarding Cecilia long-term is delusional. On that, I decide to let my brother be the one to break it to him when the time comes. At the moment, Roman is boarding a plane for a day trip to one of his Detroit plants, which gives us just enough time to get in and out. When the subject is redirected to me, Sean pleads my case.
Look, he isn't easy, but he's here because he wants to be.
Part truth, part lie.
Is that supposed to make me feel better? The guy is a motherfucker.
Tipping my beer to again hide my grin, Tyler intervenes. Good. Mom and Dad made up. Time to celebrate. He sprays them with a beer as Cecilia's laughter rings out and Sean and I lock eyes as I ready myself to play my part. My turn to make nice. He scoops Cecilia up honeymoon style and delivers her to me by jumping them both into the pool. Breaching water, she sputters out her scold as they begin to coo at one another until Sean's cell phone rings. He immediately exits the pool, darting a glance my way before he answers with a, "Hey, Dad!" Right now, Dad is being played by Jeremy. He's giving us the all clear, stating Roman's plane is climbing toward an altitude he can't be reached, and we can't be monitored. Feeling the weight of her familiar stare, Cecilia inches toward me, where I lean against the shallow end wall, her eyes roaming over me in an unmistakable way. "I suppose you want an apology," I say, close enough to drink in every detail. She's pure temptation. Long, drenched, slightly fire-kissed hair, perfect fucking features, bee-stung lips, palm-sized tits, toned torso, ample curves. A literal wet fucking dream. The triangle of material between her thighs hovers just above the water as she inches toward me. Despite the grudge I have against her maker, she really is the most beautiful fucking girl I've ever laid eyes on, along with a mix of things that would allure any man, innocent and forbidden, a mouth-watering combination of fire and water. But despite my body's constant reaction to her, not for me.
I won't hold my breath.
Downing my beer, I hold up a finger. Okay, I think I'm ready. I exaggerate my exhale. I'm sorry I told Sean I caught you staring at my dick. She surprises me by tossing her head back and laughing, and I can't help my return smile. Her eyes widen at the sight of it before she speaks up.
You are a rare bastard.
I prefer motherfucker. Her eyes bulge. Yeah, I heard you, Mouse. At least then it would be somewhat factual. Isn't that right, Tyler? We both glance over to Tyler, who shoots me the finger, adding in a, "Fuck you." Cecilia and I share a grin as her navy eyes dance along my profile, dipping further with every word she speaks.
You had your door open. I was surprised, to say the least.
In the other 5 minutes?
Do women actually sleep with you?
No, never. They're too busy screaming my name. Except the last girl, she was a corpse. No offense, Ginger.
You are unreal. Psychiatrist's dream indeed.
Her eyes glaze as a little silence lingers, as does her appraisal of me. What are you thinking about? Her guilty gaze drops.
Nothing.
This girl has no chance of making it in our world if she can't play off something as simple as sexual attraction. Though I can, I find myself in a new but predictable pattern as I fight my cock's reaction to her. Thankful when Tyler leaves his lounger and Sean nears with a nod for the both of us, I turn and push out of the pool. Out of time for the patty cake portion of the plan, I begin walking toward the back door and Cecilia speaks up.
Where are you going?
Have to use the can.
You could ask.
The clank of the gate closing at the side of the house cues me in and I turn and lower my shorts.
Oh my God.
Cecilia sounds up behind me with fast directions.
Through the door past the study, down the hall on the left, savage.
Candy from a baby. Oh, I might like that better than motherfucker. Sean joins her in the pool, promptly stealing her attention. Closing the back door, I glance around before stalking through to the front door and opening it where Tyler stands in wait, our packed duffel bag in hand. Within seconds, we're in Roman's sad excuse of a security closet, six surveillance screens stacked atop each other on small shelves. You were right. He's got them angled to capture every possible approach. It's the reason he built it like this. No ambush is possible without being flagged, which means there's something in this house worth finding. Then why wouldn't he update his cameras? Because he had no real plans of living here. So why bring her here? We're still no closer to finding out why a month after her arrival. Exactly, I say, unzipping the duffel. Tyler flips through the screens, stopping as Sean corners Cecilia in the pool and begins fucking her. Lucky bastard, he groans, as my eyes linger a little longer on the twist of her features before he kills our view. Now let's hope the fucker has some stamina, because, as you know, it's been a whole week. He rolls his eyes due to the number of arguments we've had with Sean in trying to keep him at bay until we could figure out how to use their little love quarrel to our advantage. Though he made it my call, he's been vocal about the time it's taken. Taking what I need from Tyler's backpack, I drop my soaked trunks and start toweling off. Jesus, man, some fucking warning would have been nice. I pull up my sweats. Just trying not to leak all over the floor. Don't want you to have to mop up. I'm talking about the fucking hard-on, he grits out, eyes pinched closed as I glance down at the inconvenience of interacting with Cecilia. I slap his jaw playfully, and his eyes pop open in a glare. You poor thing. I guess you didn't get the talk. I'll make it brief. One day, when you're a big boy, little Tyler will grow three sizes too big and want to do some push-ups when he sees a beautiful girl. Play it off all you want, but I physically felt that chemistry you two were stirring up in that pool. Shrugging, I bend and dig into the bag, snatching some of the mics and a flash drive. You're not going to deny it? Tyler asks. I don't lie to myself, but that's exactly what it is. Chemistry, because I can't, and mentally taxing, because I won't. But that's all it is. An old-fashioned case of wanting to fuck what you can't have because it's bad for business and will destroy relationships. But you wouldn't know anything about that, would you? He holds my inquisitive gaze a millisecond before recovering. Clock's ticking. I've got the first floor. Making my way upstairs and into her room, I head straight for the laptop on her bed. Plug in the flash drive I filled with spyware and start the download. Glancing around, I spot a bag of books from a major retailer. Unable to help my grin, I unload it on her bed. She hasn't been back to the library since I told her it was off limits. She's avoiding me when and where she can, as I have her. A receipt floats out, landing on top of the pile, and on the back of it is a handwritten list of books she wants to read. All of them romance. Lucky for her, Sean's just her type. It strikes me then, as it often has over the years, that most of the population craves that type of connection. By now, I should have felt some deep-seated need inside of me that longs for a spiritual bond to go with the sexual. Maybe by allowing myself to remain stunted, I inadvertently got rid of that urge. Tyler's voice jogs me out of my thoughts. All good up here? Shoving the books back into the bag, I situate it the way I found it and pocket the receipt before pulling the flash drive from her computer. It is now. Got three mics in. Downstairs is good to go, and I got the rest of this floor while you were sniffing through her panty drawer. Fuck off with that, I say as he flicks my ear playfully when I push past him and head toward the stairs. Tell that to your dick, he mutters. He's a big, big boy, but even with his ego, he makes good decisions. Time will tell, he taunts, trailing me as I start to take the stairs two at a time and stop on a dime just a few steps down, the hairs on the back of my neck spiking in awareness while an uneasy feeling spreads through me. What? Tyler asks, all traces of animation in his tone gone as I glance up to where he stands at the top of the stairs. Sure Roman is on a plane? I ask, unease running from my soaked head to my bare feet. Fucking positive, his brows pinch in confusion. What's happening right now? I don't know, I say, scanning the foyer. The feeling starts to dissipate as I start back down the stairs. Nothing. You sure? Tyler prods. No. Yeah. Let's go. All grown-ups were once children, but only few of them remember it. Le Petit Prince, Antoine de Saint-Exupéry. 16. A knock on my door jars me as I eye the clock on my monitor and know the only person it could be at this hour. The only bird whose nights are as restless as my own. Tyler enters a second later, hands filled with a solid black box.
Delivery,
he chimes, a glint in his eyes. From?
France.
He sets the box in front of me.
Mind if I stay?
Yeah, but stay anyway, I jest. I go to look for my letter opener as Tyler produces a pocket knife. It's unique, but severely dated.
How fucking old is this thing?
Ancient, but it still gets the job done, he states, his interest in the contents of the box rather than relaying the backstory of the knife. Placing his expression as excitement, my interest sparks. Carefully, I slice the taped bottom and release the inch-thick protective cardboard. Pulling away the bubble wrap, I unveil a large black mailer sitting atop the contents with a small note taped to it, handwritten by my brother.
For your list, Frère Bordujour.
A ball lodges in my throat at the sight of the words.
Maman,
I yell, running into the kitchen as light flashes and the giant's footsteps rattle the windows.
Dominique?
She whispers, wiping her face, her eyes red and puffy.
Maman, the giant is going to eat me.
I look over my shoulder to see Tobias chasing me.
Oof.
Maman says as I run into her and she drops a picture on the table.
Slow down, Petit Prince.
She says, pulling me into her lap.
What giant?
She asks Tobias.
I was just trying to stop him, Tobias says. No.
I shake my head as more of Maman's pictures fall on the floor.
He said to be very afraid that the giant foot was coming to eat me. I said the giant would only eat you if you got out of bed.
He smiles as the giant's foot sounds come closer.
See?
He makes big eyes at me.
He's coming.
Tobias, it's just a storm, Dominique. Nothing to be afraid of.
She looks at Tobias.
Why are you trying to scare your brother?
I was trying to keep him in bed, Tobias tells her, because he doesn't listen, ever.
And you'll keep him up all night?
Maman sighs as I point to one of the pictures.
That's Tati.
Yes.
She whispers, pulling me closer to her as I point to another picture.
That's Papa.
He
looks funny.
He never cut his bright red hair,
she says, tickling me. I point to another picture.
Who's that?
That's you.
She points to the baby.
And that is your brother holding you,
she says, holding out the picture for Tobias to see. Tobias shakes his head.
Take it.
He snatches it out of her hands, but doesn't look at it.
You were mad at him then, too.
For what? Tobias says, sitting in the chair next to us and looking at the picture.
For being born.
That's stupid, he snorts. You can't be mad at someone for being born.
Well, you were, because you had just thrown him in the trash.
You throwed me in the trash?
Tobias doesn't answer.
He was as big as you are now,
Maman tells me.
He was only mad because he did not want to share my hugs.
I should throw you in the trash,
I tell Tobias. It's throw, imbecile, Tobias snorts.
Hush, both of you.
Maman sighs, looking over to Tobias the way she does when she is about to spank us with the big spoon.
Family is important,
she says as she puts the pictures in the box.
No matter how mad you make each other, you will always be brothers.
I pick up the pictures to help her put them in the box.
Careful, Dom. Merci.
She kisses my head.
You can keep him. I'm leaving,
Tobias says, standing.
You can't leave.
I wiggle off Maman's lap as she tries to hold me still.
You can't leave, Tobias. We don't have any money.
I pull on his arm to stop him.
Papa said we don't have any money to keep a roof and water. How will you brush your teeth? How will you poop?
Tobias and Maman laugh.
It's not funny. Maman, he can't leave when it thunders. The giant will eat him.
Maman pulls me back into her lap and I squirm against her when the house shakes.
It's okay, Dom. It's only thunder, not the footsteps of a giant.
You can leave now,
I tell Tobias.
Not with thunder.
Thunder, he says, the way he does when he sounds out words when we read.
Thunder,
I say back, and he smiles, his chest puffing as he rolls his eyes.
If you leave, we will be brothers wherever you go. Right, Maman?
Dom, Tyler says as I stare through my brother's signature.
That's right, petit prince.
Always brothers. For others, it's most likely seen as a simple sentiment between siblings. Beneath the apparent, it's been Tobias's way of telling me I come first since he left for prep school at 16. Through the long years of enduring his absence since, I've struggled to believe it at times. Our call earlier being one of those times. Fuck, man, the suspense is killing me. Tyler bustles next to me. I lift the heavy machine out of the box and examine it. It's as sleek as a stealth bomber, the material seemingly indestructible. Checking for a power button, I find none, but figure out the crux of why in seconds. Opening the laptop, I place my hands where the keyboard would be, and it lights up instantly. Typing what I know Tobias meant to be the master password, it sparks to life at the speed of light. The keyboard glitters red beneath my fingertips. The placement, perfection. The screen itself looks like something out of a fucking sci-fi movie. As if you can reach in and physically touch the display and mechanical parts powering animatedly behind it. Holy fucking shit, Tyler exclaims in rare animation as he grabs the slim black envelope and tears it open. Instructions? I can't help my chuckle. Not for this. Within two commands, a menu of programs appears, and I choose every one of them. What I imagine is a junkie's type of rush seeps through my veins as they download in seconds, programs that would typically take hours. Tyler plucks a thick loan certificate from the envelope, and I don't have to see the front of it to know what it is. You didn't grab this while you were in Boston? He turns my MIT degree toward me and I jerk my chin. I didn't walk. Why the fuck not? Wasn't important. To you, he states. He wasn't there. This says it all, he shakes the certificate. So, I'm guessing you didn't leave a forwarding address? No point. He paid for it and wanted to see it. I'm willing to bet that when he did, it was one of the proudest moments of his life. The sentiment hits so hard that my throat burns. Whether the gift is a manipulation to placate me or not, I know Tyler's words are truer than my own. My brother has never shied away from his pride in me, no matter what company is present. Not ever. He knew Tyler would be the one to hand my degree to me, and this was his way of displaying that pride as both brother and father. He ordered this over a year ago, Tyler cuts in, his words striking deep. Even with my connections, it took me months to find capable enough hands to design it, and more than one set, because this is the only one of its kind. We made fucking sure of it. Emotion threatens as he continues. Dom, you may think our club is his greatest accomplishment. You can go now, I say, draining the rest of my cold coffee, my heart pounding harder with his assurances. He ignores me, as usual, forever playing big brother, even though he's only got me beat in age by months. It may not seem like it at times, but you're the only one that helps him make sense of his life when he can't. He's been where you are, just as frustrated, just as eager to dole out punishment and forced to wait. And do you know why? For us. For us to grow up, man up, to understand the importance of what we're doing, for us to align at the right fucking time, for the here and now. You've made your point, I managed to get out without emotion in my tone. All right, man. Tyler rounds my chair to get a better look, eyes brimming with satisfaction. Just to finally see it, it's fucking unreal. $1 million laptop, I utter, turning back to the screen, equally awestruck. Tyler scoffs. The down payment? Fucking serious? He grips my shoulder. I questioned whether or not to let you have your new toy this late, but orders are orders and he wanted you to have it as soon as it got here. Taking in my appearance, he shakes his head with a grin. You need some fucking sleep, but I can see by that smile you're trying so hard to hide that there's no chance of that happening. I'll cover your shift at the garage tomorrow.
I'll owe you, I tell him, running my fingers over the most sophisticated equipment on the planet. The possibilities endless. Tobias might not be greenlighting my plans, but he just gave me the perfect fucking tool to carry them out when the time comes. It's a promise. A promise of future permission. And it's enough for now. You're his greatest investment, Tyler sneaks in as my eyes start to burn. I can't help, nor do I give a fuck about what emotion he hears when I finally speak. It's fucking perfect. Thanks, man. Really. He tosses a new burner phone on my desk before walking toward my door. Don't thank me. 17. Stalking down the hall toward Sean's bedroom, I'm stopped outside when I hear his low chuckle and, a second later, realize he's not alone when a soft reply is whispered. Cecilia. Figures. They've been inseparable since they made up poolside a week ago. That must have been some dream, Pop.
Why do you say that?
You were moaning. What was my girl doing? A pause.
I don't remember.
Huh. He says in a way I know he's calling bullshit. That's a shame. I would have loved to have heard those details.
Some dreams just aren't good enough to remember.
She offers. Even I can tell she's lying. Not a second later, she catches me where I stand, watching them in their early morning spoon. It's when her eyes widen and then narrow that my suspicions are confirmed.
How long have you been standing there?
Do you live here now? I counter. Because if so, we're out of milk. Sean, a word? Sean's sparkling eyes dim as he groans in protest. This can't wait. If it could, I would have spared myself your pillow talk. Cecilia cuts in.
It's fine. I need to get going anyway.
She lifts the sheet closer to her chest and frowns at me.
Do you mind?
Unmoving, I motion dismissively. Take your time. Sean chuckles. Come on, man. It's too early for your shit. Snaking her arm out, Cecilia snags her shorts from the floor and tugs them on beneath the covers while shooting daggers at me.
You're a real asshole, you know that?
After managing to get her shirt on the same way, she stands and slides on her flip-flops. While you're out, grab some coffee, too, and don't be cheap. Rolling her eyes, she looks back down at Sean and plants a knee on the bed, hovering within reach.
See you at work?
Yeah, and after, so don't make any plans.
All right.
She dips and kisses him, and he cups the back of her head, making it last, no fucks given about the audience. Her eyes flick to mine before she pulls away. After grabbing her purse from Sean's dresser, she moves toward the door, and I give her just enough space to squeeze through. She attempts to get past me without contact and fails. Sweet dreams. I utter low enough for her to hear when she pushes past me. Her eyes flit to mine briefly before she stalks toward the stairs. Turning back to Sean, we sit in silence until the front door closes and her car starts. Sighing, he moves to sit at the edge of his bed before grabbing his jeans from the floor. You just can't help yourself, can you? Sounds like a question you need to direct to your mirror. He fastens his jeans before walking over to his dresser, rolling on some deodorant before snatching and pulling down a fresh t-shirt. So, what couldn't wait? You really do feel for her. Sean pauses before tucking his wallet into the back pocket of his jeans. Grabbing his keys, he looks over to me, the answer clear in his eyes as Tyler appears at his door. Good, you're both up. Sean runs a hand through his hair. What the fuck is up with you two assholes creeping into my room so early this morning? His eyes scour Tyler with concern. You just getting in, man? Yeah, I've been working on our crate issue. And? Sean prompts. Let me rephrase. We've got different problems, Tyler says, his exhaustion apparent. Sean tucks a fresh pack of smokes into his jeans. So basically business as usual? Oh, happy fucking day. Tyler nods. And it's just getting started. Mind if I get a coffee and have a smoke first? Sean asks. No time. I'll meet you outside. Tyler exits the bedroom and heads downstairs, and Sean glances over at me, resuming our conversation. Yeah, I do feel for her, and I've been honest about it, so that makes one of us.
The fuck?
He shakes his head.
I'm not blind, man. Seems to me you're both fighting the inevitable.
He lifts a brow.
Want to talk that out?
Sure, pencil that in for fucking never.
This past week, Sean's infatuation has led to more run-ins with Cecilia. A few days ago, she caught me in the midst of a deep session pacing my room. Undeterred by my openly hostile reception, she offered me the bowl of ice cream in her hand. One long look at her profile as she stepped into my room to leave it on my desk silenced every bit of the roar inside my head and chest and had me losing focus. I thanked her by slamming the door in her face. Sean reads my lingering silence as an admission that sends his wheels turning in the wrong direction and jacking his jaws.
You in need of another field session to work some of that aggression out? Major malfunction?
Cute. Will you be using all your girlfriend's quips against me now that you're strung out?
Yep. This is a case of full-on penis envy.
Sure, it's not you who's envious? I playfully slap his face. Because I think we both know who she was dreaming about. With that, he pounces, managing to dodge my first light fist, landing his own sucker punch before racing into the hall. I lunge for him as he swings and narrowly misses me before leaping onto the stairs. When he's halfway down, I tackle him at the landing, and we both slam into the drywall, hearing it crack.
Get your fucking dick beaters off me! Sean groans, gaining his bearings before throwing a blind fist behind him, catching me in the throat and momentarily stunning me.
My hoarse threat reaches him as he pushes off the wall, giving chase.
You better run!
Sean bursts out of the townhouse with me hot on his heels and comes to a dead stop a few feet out. He curses before glancing back over his shoulder at me when I see Tyler's expression and whom he's waiting with.
It is lonely when you're among people, too. Le Petit Prince, Antoine de Saint-Exupéry.
18.
Ginger sits passenger in Tyler's truck where he stands next to his open door, holding an ice pack to her cheek, her lower lip caked with dried blood. Fury clouds my vision as I stalk toward her and pinch her chin between my fingers, slowly turning her face to survey the damage.
I'm sorry, Dom. I didn't know where else to go. He's on a rampage, and Toby.
A sob bursts from her as Sean speaks up from behind me.
Dom, listen to me. You can't go off. Now is not the time.
He steps up next to me, his instructions for Ginger.
Ginger, I hate fucking saying this, but you'll have to go the legal route.
Jeffrey's cousin is a Triple Falls cop. I've already tried.
Fuck.
Sean exhales, snapping his Zippo closed. Tyler gently tucks her back inside his truck. Give us a few minutes, sweetheart, okay?
Ginger's eyes remain glued to mine through the glass after he shuts the door. Tyler ushers me away from her as we huddle in the yard, my pulse thrumming in my ears. Sean audibly exhales a plume of smoke.
Can't we just wake up and eat our Wheaties like normal folk?
Not what we signed up for. Tyler answers, eyes on me for a decision. Sean waves him off, looking between us.
Yeah, what's the plan?
Tyler picks up where Sean left off, his words for me. Dom, she's going to have to go through legal channels to get him out. There's no other way.
There's a way, I clip, pressing back against the rage threatening to overtake me as I sift through possibilities.
Dread covers both their expressions as Tyler presses me.
What are you thinking?
Get her to Layla, and don't let her go home. Tyler nods, and without another word, walks back to his truck before backing out. Ginger's eyes stay glued to mine as Sean speaks up beside me.
I could see 1,000 scenarios going through that fucking head of yours.
He exhales more smoke as I stalk toward my Camaro. Sean opens my passenger door, opting to stick with me until he knows it's safe to leave me to my own devices, dread in his tone.
Wonder which one will cost me less skin?
Splintering the front door open instead of a polite knock, my birds flood in from behind me. Scanning the space, I'm met with the sight of Jeffrey's friends scattered throughout Ginger's living room and kitchen in different states of a fucking high. One with Toby's baby bottle tipped up, drinking from the nipple.
Cloaked from head to boots in black, my inked brothers begin to pluck away Jeffrey's tribe one by one. Russell drags one kicking and screaming through the front door just as I zero in on the motherfucker and his wide eyes. In a flash, I'm gripping him by the neck and his jeans, lifting him chest level before dropping him onto the littered coffee table, which shatters beneath him. In seconds, the apartment is cleared, and the only remaining screams are those of the baby down the hall, echoing his mother's. I lift Jeffrey by the collar to see him conscious with only a few cuts, which won't do. His eyes widen when he realizes who is staring back at him through the ski mask. His scream cut off with my first blow. Knowing time is of the essence, I rain down on him as many times as I can, feeling his flesh give way to my knuckles to make sure he's unrecognizable until Tyler rips me away. "That's enough, brother," he urges before dragging Jeffrey's unconscious body through the door. Marie follows, begging Tyler to release him. A fucking lost cause. Pulling my gloves from my pocket, I slide them on and dial the number with my burner phone while making my way toward the baby's room. Pushing open the door, Toby's screams ring in my ears from where he stands in his crib. Diaper weighed down, tear streaks, both new and old, coating his filthy cheeks. Tamping down the rage at the sight of him, I pull my mask up as I approach before lifting him from his crib. He stares back at me, terrified, as I run my gloved hands down his back in a soothing motion. "Shh, little man, it's okay. It's okay."
"Please don't take him, Dom."
This comes from Marie, who now stands at the door, her plea echoing throughout the quiet apartment. Time ticking, I hear the operator on the other end of the line speak up as I walk over to Marie and hand her Toby. "No more chances." Putting the phone on speaker, I toss it into Toby's crib as the operator's voice fills the air.
"Sir, are you there? Sir, we have a unit on the way now with an ETA of 4 minutes. I want to confirm that you asked for child protective services. Can you tell me the age of the child? Can you get them to a safe location, sir? Sir."
Marie gasps, face twisting in panic as I pull my mask down. Stalking past her and clearing the front door, I jump in and close the double doors on a van full of screaming drug addicts. Limbs heavy, I pull on the blunt while making both a literal and physical attempt to drive some of the restlessness out of my body. Tension starts to marginally disperse with every long pull on the blunt. Sinking further into my seat, I click on the radio.
"It's 1 a.m. in Western North Carolina, and now for today's forecast and your local news on the hour. You can expect clear skies for most of the day and a high of 87 with the slight possibility of a late afternoon shower. Now for the news." "Wow. Get this, folks. 8 men were just arrested for public intoxication and indecent exposure. The men were found naked and disoriented walking down a median on Highway 11. Each had conflicting stories on their whereabouts prior to their arrest. One of the men was reported as saying they were captured by birds before they were disrobed and left on the highway. Consider this your PSA to take it easy on the moonshine. Let's kick off our next half hour of uninterrupted music with my man Marvin's What's Going On. Feels appropriate."
Grinning at the stoplight, I grab my cell to call Sean and let him in on the secret we handled while he was working his shift at tech and pause, tracking his Nova instead. Granddad's apple farm. Tossing the phone, I decide this is another secret he won't be privy to. When he got no word from us after he clocked in for his shift, I'm guessing he assumed we weren't making a move today. He's so preoccupied that I doubt he'll bother to ask. Downshifting, I decide that the longer I wait for everyone to get on the same page, the less gets done. We've got a severe kink in our system that needs to be worked out before we can take things further. Sean's words about counting on people's loyalty are ringing truer than ever. Over the years, he's been a part of everything, and his continued and voluntary absence from the day-to-day lately has me questioning whether his ink matters as much as it used to. Sting ringing in my chest, I floor the gas and let the road guide me until my vision starts to blur. Even then, I push through as the truth of it settles in my gut. The truth that life moved on when Tyler and I left, and no one waited for either of us. Just as no one is waiting for us now.
19.
Tyler appears in the doorway before tossing some paperwork on my desk. Pulling my earbuds out, I scan the report as he gives me the Cliff's Notes. Marie didn't implicate us, even though Toby's now in Ginger's temporary custody. Marie took full responsibility for all of it and has to make state-mandated efforts to get him back. I have zero fucking regrets. I tossed the paperwork aside. It was risky, Tyler adds. Yeah, well, that's our daily bread. We need to get going. I nod, logging out of a few windows. We're meeting at the warehouse to discuss what inventory we want to barter with before taking it to trade with other chapters at the meetup. Any word from Miami? I ask, clicking out of a dozen active windows on a few screens. Still haven't paid dues since we denied them in on our big secret. The big secret being our new connection with birds infiltrating government agencies to help cover their asses in the future. We decided not to take the risk since they've always skated moral lines and have no intention of stopping. Fuck them. My sentiments too, but something is definitely up. They coming? I ask, making a few more clicks. The invitation was sent, but they've missed the last two. Might be time to send a few birds to fly south. He nods as I roll back in my chair and glances at my desktop. What were you working on? He reads my hesitation and grins. Now I have to know. Standing, I move the mouse to hover over my last open window before clicking it and turning up the volume. In the next second, Cecilia's voice fills the air.
If I'm being forced to pay literally for your oversights, then I will have my say with you. That woman told me over and over that I was your daughter, and I had no idea how to convey that meant nothing.
Eyes widening, Tyler steps into the room and shuts the door. When did this go down?
About an hour ago.
Sean hear it yet?
No, but I'm sure he's aware. This was brought on last night due to a confrontation at the plant. Cecilia's been bullied.
Tyler nods.
Sean mentioned it.
You didn't tell me.
Didn't think you would care.
Any visual with this?
No, this mic is in the dining room.
Damn. Tyler crosses his arms, listening intently as Cecilia goes off on Roman.
Asked you for a single thing, aside from extending support to my mother, who worked herself stupid to make sure I had everything I needed, and you couldn't be bothered to do that. I'm asking you to make this right, not for me, but for them. If you want to continue to dangle your fortune over my head, then do it. Or better yet, take it away and give it back to them, because if it's their money I'm inheriting, I don't want it.
Tyler's smile widens with every word. She's really laying into him. I would love to have seen his face. I stand and grab my boots, kicking into them at the foot of my bed as he turns to me. You still aren't sold on her. A statement, so I don't bother with a reply. Tyler lets me off the hook where Sean wouldn't. I get it, Dom. I don't think I could separate it either if I were in your position, but she's good people and whip smart. I don't correct him that recently I have been able to separate Cecilia from her father, not just because of my attraction to her, which there's no fucking denying. For that, I blame the gift of vision combined with my underutilized cock. What I haven't told Tyler is that even though this fight went down an hour ago, I've been listening to her berate Roman on repeat since it happened. My issues with Sean's absence lessening as I did. He's been utilizing his time with her wisely, not just dicking her, but teaching her what we collectively stand for, like any other recruit. Teachings she's obviously taken to heart and ring clear in her stand with Roman. I don't have to be right about her. I tell him truthfully as Cecilia continues to criticize him for a lot more than being a shitty business owner. It's better if I'm not. I grab my keys as her emotional baggage starts to shift her rant.
I'm sure it's a lot to deal with, but this one is close to you. It's right under your nose.
Lowering the volume at the doorway, I glance back at him. But yeah, I'm still not sold for more reasons than one. She's too fucking young. But you're considering it. Another statement, but this time I speak up. I wouldn't go that far. I push past him where he lingers at the monitor. Her voice echoes down the hall as I take the stairs two at a time. Pushing out of the front door, Sean's constant pleas with me to hear her out circle through my mind as I start up my Camaro and flip on the radio to drown the new noise out. Cecilia shrieks next to me when I bank on the shoulder and speed back toward the gas station. She was just as confused as I was when I picked her up. I'm still unsure as to why I felt the need to leave the compound and drive straight to her house to collect her. The worst part was calling Sean when I was already sitting in Roman's driveway. the "I told you" in his tone cut short when I hung up on his smug ass. Pulling into the gas station, I stop on a dime and glance over. "Need anything?" She explodes on me, utilizing my new pet name.
"You motherfucker!"
"Not in the mood for foreplay right now, but how about a Mountain Dew?" She stares back at me, coiled up and ready to strike, no doubt due to my impromptu driving lesson. I'll take that as a no. Fighting my chuckle, I exit the Camaro and walk into the gas station. Glancing over the counter, I spot Zach in his invisible cage on the filthy fucking floor, books spread out as he scribbles out his homework. Every bit of the high from sparring with Sean's new girlfriend evaporates when I take in his attire. Making my way over to the cooler, I open it to hear Cecilia asking for the key to the restroom at the head of the store. Thankful her little piss break will buy me some time, I walk up to the counter to stare into the eyes of the attendant, whose nervous gaze meets mine before he glances over his shoulder at his son. Zach's posture stiffens as he continues to work steadily on the floor, as Tim's alcohol-laced breath hits me when I set down my drink. "Need wraps?" He nods and turns to the display. "What flavor? Cherry or pineapple?" He glances back at me, brows drawn that I'm not asking for my usual. "I don't have those." "Then why don't you check your little stockroom?" My reply, more an order than suggestion. Moving around the counter, Tim again looks back at his son, who doesn't lift his eyes. As soon as Tim is out of earshot, Zach pops up from the floor while I stare at his threadbare shoes.
"Hey, Dom,"
he greets, head lowered, shame and embarrassment. Two things I've lived with for too many years and could recognize in anyone. Redirecting my inspection, my anger flares further when I see the same tattered backpack next to his books. "The fuck happened to the shoes and backpack?" Zach keeps his chin tucked into his chest.
The shoes were the wrong size."
"Doesn't explain why you weren't wearing the right one. And the backpack?"
"Dom, look at me."
His eyes lift, but his neck remains lowered.
"Lift your chin, Zach," I grit out.
When he does, I get a clear view of the finger-sized bruises on his throat. They're faint, but damning. Turning, I walk down the aisle and pin Tim to an end cap just as he walks out of the stockroom.
"Get out," he wheezes.
"So Daddy finally found the money I've been tucking into his son's backpack for years.
My son is none of your business."
I squeeze harder, interrupting his rant until he's ripping in my hand for air. The only sound in the store coming from the lotto machines. Neither man playing has bothered to look back. Good on them. Time is ticking, and I know I need to back away, but one look in Zach's direction, of the fear in his eyes, has me finishing what I started. "You robbed your own goddamn son, Tim. And for what?"
"It's none."
Squeezing tighter, I cut him off. "We're over that, far past formal introductions and pleasantries. I know you used to run with my brother, and that you know I know that. So at one point, you had potential, but we both know how you wasted it and have no one to blame but yourself."
"Dom, you know it's been hard for me since his mother left. Who the fuck could blame her?
Have you seen your fucking reflection lately?" I tighten my grip on his throat to make sure I don't get a response. Releasing him, he remains where he stands, neck marred, which brings me little satisfaction. "I'm going to make this easy since you seem like a pretty simple man. The money I'm about to give Zach to replace the shoes and backpack you stole and anything extra belongs to him. For needs you can't meet because you're a worthless, selfish fucking drunk. Anything else I decide to gift your son better fucking remain in his possession." Not so playfully tapping his jaw, I walk over to where Zach stands, his own profile ghastly white, and hand him one of my burner phones after programming my cell in. A now shaking Tim keeps himself busy restocking the end cap I destroyed. "Memorize this number and call me. Every goddamn day. If he touches you when I leave, call me. If you have to, come to the garage. Do you know where it is?" Zach nods, eyes soaked in fear as I pull out a wad of bills and place them in his shaking palm, rage seeping into me at the fear that's been instilled in him. "This isn't how it's supposed to be," I relay as twin tears he's been fighting finally spill over his cheeks. At the sight of them, it takes every ounce of my strength to speak instead of act. "Zach, look at me." He does. and I fight within myself to keep what's threatening to unleash locked down. This is not your fault. It's his fucking failure. Zach swallows. Do you hear me? I stare into the eyes of a terrified boy who's been living impoverished and seemingly punished for merely existing in a drunk's selfish world. No doubt feeling like an unwanted burden. An obligation. A boy I've watched grow up over the years and was forced to abandon when I went to Boston. A boy who's habitually abused by the adult he's been forced to call his father. It was his decision to become who he is, and it's going to be your choice not to be anything like him. One you'll make every day. Understand? Zach gives me another nod, his tears flowing freely. Tears that tell me he's suffered horribly, which pushes me to my limit. I snatch my drink from the counter and know I have to bail when a sob escapes him. Give me a wrap, okay? I slap a 20 on the counter. It's when I see the bruised fingerprints on the back of Zach's neck that I step back over to Tim, who refuses to meet my eyes. Forcing my way into his personal space, they fearfully snap up. If you abuse him again in any way, I will fucking kill you. Tim gapes at me as Zach turns and pauses, gauging his father's expression when I stalk back over to grab the papers. Thanks. I collect them and see my hand is visibly shaking. Be good.
I will.
Zach nods, and I can tell he wants to say more but doesn't, knowing that fear will have him in a chokehold until he believes any part of what I told him. He's 11, so it won't be too much longer until the resentment kicks in and the anger follows. What scares me is who he'll become when he gets angry about the venomous hand he's been dealt in a world that's fucked him. Dressed in rags, surrounded by bigots who continually shame him for doing nothing but breathing in and out and trying to survive another fucking day with a growling stomach. Will he start to retaliate against it? Will there be a fucking soul there to hold him back? A person aware of the war that will rage between his heart and mind to help him understand the way my brother, who's still trying to reel in my resentment for Delphine, helps me? Exiting the station with worry for the future of the replica of a younger me on the other side of the glass, I'm stopped short when I see Cecilia hemmed up at my hood, being harassed by one of the regulars at the machines.
No, the car isn't mine. Excuse me.
When he blocks her path, I feel the anger I just tempered flare again as the asshole speaks up, stalling her with small talk, his posture predatory.
I used to race back in the day. Just wanted to...
Wrapping my fingers around his neck, I use the leverage to swat him out of the way. Cecilia's eyes widen when he smacks into the side of the building before landing on his ass. She gapes at me as I snatch the bathroom key from her grip with my order. My patience thinned out. Get in the car. Lifting my gaze back to the store, I meet Tim's eyes through the window before making my way back inside. Tim makes himself busy as I hand Zach the keys, elevating my voice. See you both soon.
20. Delphine's pillbox and trash can in hand, I stop outside of Tobias's old bedroom door and twist the lock from inside in case Cecilia uses the bathroom and gets curious, which is likely since she bulldozed her way inside the house after I ordered her not to. Satisfied when the knob doesn't give, I return to the living room where Delphine sits in her recliner, Cecilia hovering uncomfortably nearby as I set the pillbox on her table and the trash can within reach. All separated. Take them, Tati, or you'll get sicker, I order, spotting the French translation Bible forever resting in her lap. Too late for you, witch.